Yeah, so here we are. This is the introduction to my talk. It's good to forewarn people. I'm this guy. You can follow me on Twitter. That's where I usually rabbit on about my nonsense, and Damir and co have made the grave mistake of inviting me to speak on this stage. I make games, amongst other things, one thing called The Last Worker. I'll do this really quickly because I want to talk about my work, because this is not a marketing panel, but you should buy my game immediately. It's incredibly good, as you can see. It came out on the 30th of March. There was a bad review in The Escapist, however. They thought it was more art than game, and I'd like to formally apologize to the entire game industry for attempting that. So. I'm sorry. Then we made a little spin-off called Skew, a spin-off of a game, because it's on the Playdate, that little system with a crank. And we actually announced it when Frédéric Renal, the creator of Alone in the Dark, was here with me at the last wonderful reboot. And some we had some random...
This is super good. This is such a good news.
Well, here it was, being played for the first time by the person outside of me and Fred. That was Rami there. He liked it. The audio was terrible, but he said it was awesome. So you didn't hear that. It's fine. And then that did very well. I'm a multimillionaire now because there's 20,000 playdates out there. So that's cool. So I won't buy drinks for everyone because I'm actually not that a millionaire. And then there's a game called C-Smash VRS. We released a demo 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, on PlayStation VR 2. It's doing very well for us because people love it, and I invite you all to play it. And it's a beautiful thing. We were the cover of Edge, and I'm publishing it myself, which I'm, because I'm an idiot, so I released these two things at the same time. And, but yes, play it, whatever, just buy it. And first, some housekeeping. Damir is going to come around with this bucket here and just collect whatever objects you feel like throwing at me later on. So just be good, because this is a safe space for me, at least. So thank you. Thanks, Damir. If you like, yeah, please go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Anything? Perfect. Yeah, just put your content in there. That's right. Thank you. Well done. See? Yeah. There will be a random prize draw for the best object later. So first, because in this industry we like explaining and possibly mansplaining things to everyone, I'm going to do a little tutorial. Yes. Good. Good. Try this one. So basically you just want to do this motion. Good. Well done. Yeah. A bit higher, a little bit more confidence. Well done. That looks a bit Nazi. Remove that. Good. All right. Good. Well done. Cool. And this one is the advanced stage. Just. Good. Good, good, good. See, this is a video game conference. I knew this would work out. You need these things in games these days, don't we? So, yes. First thing, raise your hand, please, if you consider yourself a tech person. Okay. Good. Interesting, interesting, okay. You weren't sure? I saw you hesitating. But good, interesting, and please do the same if you consider you have a game developer. If you've raised your hand the first time around, you don't get to do it again. Okay, interesting. Okay, half-half, I would say. And then as for the rest, I'd like to give thanks to our sponsors. They're the reason why we're all here today. It's a special moment. There's possibly the rest of the audience. I see a couple, yeah. Thank you. So please clap your hands. Please clap your, raise your hands. Raise your hands for our sponsors. They've worked really, really hard for us all to be here. Keep clapping, please. Show some respect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well done. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you all so much. Why are you laughing? Show some respect, guys. Come on. Oh, fuck. Okay, sorry. I used the Activision fucking template for this. I'm so sorry. This is perfect. Thank you much. Yeah. Anyway, I was at Reboot last year, and this... Thank you, W. You did a fantastic job. Yeah. I was here last year in October. It was amazing. I genuinely think this is the greatest game conference and the most important one in the world. So genuinely, like a real clap now. You don't need the tutorial for that one, for these people. We've all survived day one, and it's been a good one, so I can't wait for the next 2 days after I'm done with this bullshit. But last October I was here, and I actually recorded the sound that we make inside the speaker's bus. So here it is, just listen to that. It might, the audio might kill you, but... This is what we sound like in this industry. I have a word for it. It's called white noise, because 70% of us are white males. And isn't that great? Everybody, we've arrived, guys. It's fantastic. Isn't it fantastic? It's so good. Yeah. And we've arrived, and look at us. I mean, we're everywhere. Like, video games are everywhere. You know, you can have them on your phone. You can have them on your pregnancy test, apparently. You can have them on everything. And it's great because, like, the whole world is literally run like a video game now. Democracies are run like a game. Everything is gamified. It's very, very exciting. And so we've won. We are here. It's fantastic. And we are here thanks to half of this room. We're here thanks to technology, aren't we? Because we're a technology industry. We're a tech industry. I know this because when I go to every game conference, at least 80% of the talks are about tech. It's great. Thank you, tech guys. It's so cool. You've given us everything that we need. And we just add the sort of cherry on top, which is quite cool. We try. But yeah, so yeah, we're quite... I like the fact that I found this on a website called Fatherly. I think there's some sort of deeper metaphor to that. But yeah, so we've made it. Tech is great, and we are now building the future, thanks to the great tech overlords, and I am extremely grateful to them for all the inspiration. And now that we're so powerful, us, 70% white male, we have great responsibility. Like this great white superhero here, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, everybody. Yes. And so now we've arrived, I thought we should talk about where we should go. And so try me out on this one. Test me. See where we take us. But first, we have to talk about where we came from. So we have a great white male here who, in a very, very advanced technological experiment, created the woman out of his spine, which is, you know, it's incredible. Like, tech really has, from the beginning of time, served us beautifully. And then they had kids. And they were sort of jealous and not getting along and stuff. And Cain stoned Abel, whatever, to death, and then he celebrated. I believe that those two boys actually invented video games. It's a cool dance, actually. I should learn that one and put it on TikTok. So now that I've established this, that the great men have invented everything, well, I'm going to walk you a little bit through the ages. We started in prehistory, you know. Patrice knows more about this than I do. It's prehistory because history didn't actually begin until after these apes were gone, right? Poor things. They had nothing to contribute to anything. And then we had ancient history, where we invented metal. We had rock at first, and we had metal, so we went through all the different musical genres, and that was cool. And then we had the late Middle Ages, the printing press. Boring, but all right. So we did that. Actually, it was quite interesting because it started with the Bible, and then that controlled everyone. And then eventually, we then got to write our own books. And then J.K. Rowling came along, sadly. Right. And then we have modern history, which is interesting, because this is where all the great white tech men have done all the great stuff. So, for instance, we built factories. Then we put children in them, which was really cool. Then we eventually replaced them with robots. We also came up with really great ways of blowing people up, which is quite cool. And then these great minds, like for instance this fella here, Wernher von Braun, he started Nazi and then he went NASA, which is, you know, it's lovely. It's a fine line between those two, apparently. And there's this great Tom Lehrer quote here, you can read it yourself, which I think is quite telling of how we think in the video game industry as well. You know, once the rockets are up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department. It is definitely apolitical, because we are not political. We make content, remember that, and product, so that's good. And then we have new great white men who have followed in his footsteps. What a genius he is. Great. Cool. But the ultimate achievement, of course, was when we invented the internet. And this is the ultimate content ever posted on here. Right? I mean, millions upon millions of people have watched this. It's possibly the most watched thing on YouTube. It's incredible. And I think ever since we've been trying to play catch-up, everyone wants to get as much attention as this soon-to-be-extinct tiny baby animal. So, we've now entered the age of information, thanks to the great internet, which is cool. We did that. We've done that. And we had the news, and then we entered the age of fake news. It turns out that all of this was fake, which was good. And so now we're in the age of attention. Yeah? So we all just want to be noticed, which is great. And I like to call it the age of content, actually. That's where we are. The age of content. And last year I went to Gamescom, and there were 265,000 people there in 3 days, and this massive place the size of an airport. And there was just so much white noise in there. It was beautiful. I felt immediately at home. And there was a booth by a tech company, and this was literally their tagline on there. We bring your content to life. Aw, thanks, guys. That's beautiful. Because what we create are dead things. So, wow, it's magic what they do. And it was quite intense because when I was inside that Gamescom City Hall, airport fucking thing. I felt like I was in the world's biggest supermarket, and the only thing they sell there is ice cream. Except I've noticed that we have to be the delivery man on that ice cream and also pick up the children on the way, which is a bit creepy since we're zombies. So, I thought about content a lot because that word is going around a lot. I mean, today I had like various talks I've heard. Multiple people, especially tech companies and platforms, using this beautiful, sort of all-encompassing term of content. So it doesn't matter what we do, whether it's a game, or music, a movie, or, you know, a picture of our kids, it's content. Everything is content. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful universal approach, isn't it? So we're all the same. It's all just content. And there's also a bucket of shit is content in it, which at that point it gets a little bit sad, I find. I find that content, the whole term, is a bit of a con. I find that the idea that we should all be reduced to attention-seeking data packs and spend our entire lifetime acting like toddlers in that ice cream supermarket, a bit unnecessary. But it is necessary because the system is put together in such a way that we have to behave in such a way. That's how the algorithms work. They want us to create attention-seeking data packs. Because content is king. I love that expression. And here are some of the kings of content. Great, great men. Beautiful. I also believe that since the content is king, we should take off his head. The world is gamified, as we've covered earlier. You know, we have people literally being treated like NPCs all over the place. Here's one example. And therefore, we have created this wonderful medium of video games where we all get to escape. You know, like Arnie here. Run! Yes. And, well, he escaped in Total Recall. He wanted to go to Mars, didn't he? I want to go to Mars. And then suddenly he was all, like, trapped inside of it and stuff. Well, that's literally what we do with video games, because we escape to places that hate us, don't we? Most of the time. Like here. I mean, I love this game, don't get me wrong. But we escape to places that want to kill us, unless we kill everything in them, for the most part. Those are the most popular ones, which is quite interesting. So if we are talking about the idea of escape, then we're refugees, aren't we? So why are we made to escape into places that hate us even more than the reality that we're already in? I think about it a lot. I don't know. And so content is this sort of strange drug that we're all addicted to now, where we're constantly having to feed our attention spans with more attention-seeking data, and we're constantly unsatisfied because there's so fucking much of it. We'll never get through any of it, and none of it has any worth and value whatsoever. But it's a lovely drug, and therefore, the best drug out there is brands, because it's familiar. It's that familiar little hit, that dopamine hit, that wonderful little digital meth hit that we can get. It's brands, and they're familiar, aren't they? We feel at home in them because they're risk-averse. It's good, you know. Originality is risky. Metaverse. Risk-averse metaverse went well together, so put it in there. And we all like to talk about the metaverse. I know it's dying, but it's still kind of hip, so I'm doing it. And so, but I think, do you remember this one? This one is big as well. Like, I mean, how many of you have seen that, actually? Use the first technique I've taught you. Yeah, well done. And yes, it's a good video. It's been delightful. But also, this baby is delighted because something surprising was happening, like something unfamiliar. That's what makes us laugh. That's what makes us scared. That's what makes us delighted, is actually genuinely the element of surprise. And when you're living in the world of brands, everything is familiar. And on the top level, we're removing that sense of surprise. We're removing delight. We don't know it, but that's exactly what drugs do. You think you're getting nutritional value from them. You think you're becoming happy, but in fact, you're getting something relatively empty, and that might eventually also kill you. But as the great William Shakespeare once wrote, familiarity breeds contempt, right? Or this. Well, we're addicted to it, and that's unfortunately the case. Look at all these wonderful thumbnails. I mean, literally, I mean, you take a step back and they all look the same. It's like, it's crazy, isn't it? A little bit? Have you thought about, like, scroll for all these infinitely scrolling thumbnail menus and went like, shit, what am I gonna pick now? Ah, fuck it, just this thing, whatever. And so we're addicted to boredom, because ultimately we're always searching for the next thing. And we can't commit to anything. And we have services that just throw the games at us for free, $9 a month or whatever. And it's like, oh, didn't like it. Get the next one. So, why am I so serious, sort of, at a game conference? This is a game conference. It's video games. Don't take it so seriously, you moron. It's for fun. It's fun. Well, it's because I understand the games are not political. I understand that because, you know, Ubisoft told me so, and they're one of the biggest companies in the industry. So, okay. But back in the 17th century, another great French person, because corporations are persons, Descartes said, I think, therefore I am, or in Latin, very good, yeah. He's the most educated person in the room, and he makes mobile games. Think about that. But I think that's where we are now. That's what a great French philosopher called Guillemot might have said. Yeah. This is not streaming, is it? Right. But this all comes down to IP, isn't it? IP, we love IP. We use that term all the time, IP. This is literally what I see every time I hear it. It's weird, but this is it. And that's property, isn't it? It's important. Property, own this. Own your IP. Yeah. And, but it's because it's a property. I mean, it's a shit property, but it's that's what I hear when I hear the word property, yes. But an intellectual thing, that's a bit of a bummer, isn't it? Maybe boring thinking guy, gray. Yeah, and that is because the intellectual thing is just doesn't come into the fun. It shouldn't just spoil the fun, should it? That's why we now make sure, even in games where literally the only thing you have to do is kill everything, when you face off against the boss, and thank you for this tip, Lawrence, they give you this little screen here, which explains to you where all the weak points are and stuff, and how to defeat the boss. So don't worry, we got this. Don't think. Even when you just fucking decimate everything. It's good. Because what we make here is cars, actually. We make mechanical things. It's great. And they have to get bigger, better, and faster every time. That is what we're essentially selling here. We talk about mechanics all the time and fucking gameplay loops, roundabouts, right? That's what we like. And then I want you to imagine something, because I make films and theater, and I've done a bunch of random crap. And books, I've written books. But so imagine this character, right? You sort of land on this island, yeah, and you get this little house on loan. You know, you sort of owe some money for it. And then you've got this, like, you know, nice, likable chap who tells you, like, listen, you owe me some money. So all you have to do is you basically have to dig around and make sure you dig up everything that you find on this island, right? Dig around everywhere. The land is your oyster, right? Everything is owned by you. Don't worry. Great white man, probably. And just get everything. And once you have that, bring it back. And then give it. And then get a bigger house. It's really exciting. And it has a whole community around it, too, because you get to brag to people about how big your house is getting and what new couch you have in there. And look at the new carpet. Do you have this carpet? You don't have the carpet. I have the carpet. It's really cool you have that. And then you get to buy a boat because, you know, the island, you've taken everything off the island now. And it has to grow back, you know, if you've watered the stuff. And then eventually you have to go to another island, and there you get to take everything as well. You politely say hi to people occasionally, but then you take the shit anyway. Hey, I'm going to take your stuff. And then you're going to go back, and you're going to have a bigger house. Well, if I read about this character in a book or I saw them in a movie, I'd think they're a fucking sociopath. But in Animal Crossing, it's cute and lovely, and we love it. And I'm not sure where my thoughts lie there, but interestingly, I was speaking to one of the sort of leading German podcasts about this, and he says, like, and the guy from the podcast said to me, I have never thought about the mechanics and the meaning of the mechanics in the game before. And I was like, fuck. Because if indeed we're all about gameplay, then isn't the gameplay the thing that should express our intent the most? Are the stories maybe just a smokescreen for something that's inherently telling an entirely different story? Well, here's the idea of escape again. We all needed to escape into this imperialist, colonialist simulation. Narcissistic as well, because we all had to show off how cool our house is. Nice. Well, and then there's these games. You know, this has been going through the rounds the last few days. This person has made this game in which you get a cop with a sort of head-mounted camera, and everyone is up in arms, like, oh, God, isn't it so realistic? Are you telling me that every single time you've been decimating whatever the fuck moves on screen, you didn't think about the fact that you were killing something anyway? Like, is this perhaps more honest? I mean, I hate this, right? But it's possibly as honest as a mass murderer telling you where they buried all the bodies. It's possibly not trying to put lipstick on a pig and pretend that it's not violent. And, you know, have your kids dance after they've killed everyone on their island, for instance. Different game, not Animal Crossing. Then we had the best game design category at BAFTA. I'm a BAFTA member, which was really, really interesting. We have amazing people from Vampire Survivors here in the room, so please give them a big clap because they won it, and I genuinely think they deserve it. And those were the nominees. And what's really, really interesting, if you just take a bit of a step back, in Tunic, you dash and run around and sort of avoid getting killed and kill things around you. In Horizon Forbidden West, you run around, you dash, you sort of kill things and make sure that they don't kill you. In God of War, you get the point. But, you know, I mean, genuinely, the only person that did it honestly and purely was Vampire Survivors. Because all the others either put a cute skin on it, or a sort of pseudo-film story, or like some TV writing on top. That's how we operate. But the game, ultimately, was doing the same thing. They did the game part better. because they actually removed all the complications and ultimately, like, almost like a car, actually, and I don't mean this as a criticism, like a car, they made the mechanics so perfect that you only could use one finger to control the whole game and have actually more fun with it than all the other fiddly ones. Because, yes, ultimately we make cars. And I think we should put meaning behind our mechanics. I think we should think about what our games are actually doing, and I think we should also think about what we are playing. Because right now I feel that we are, and we use this term a lot when we play games. I mean, I'm sure some of you have used this term before. I just want to kill some time right now, play some metagames. Killing is an act of murder. And it's especially an act of murder in a time when we're running out of it. Not murder, we have plenty of that, but we're running out of time. We've got sea levels rising, right? We've got fascism rising everywhere. And we're killing time. Because, I don't know, I'm not content with that idea, are you? The state of the world, the playing games is fun. I do it all the time, that's why I'm here. Because there is no escape. We can't escape. The whole idea of escapism is a lie. We're here, we're stuck here. This guy can escape on his cock rocket. But we can't. It's interesting, William Shatner, he was invited onto this content, Cock Rocket. And he was then asked by the press what he thought of it. And he said this thing. He said, "My trip to space was supposed to be a celebration, but instead, it felt like a funeral. I learned later that I was not alone in this feeling. It is called the overview effect and is not uncommon among astronauts, especially when someone travels to space and views Earth from orbit. A sense of the planet's fragility takes hold in an ineffable, instinctive manner. Author Frank White first coined the term in 1987, there are no borders or boundaries on our planet except those that we create in our minds or through human behaviors. All the ideas and concepts that divide us when we are on the surface begin to fade from orbit and to the moon. The result is a shift in worldview and in identity." I thought it was fucking beautiful. Because technically, I wish we could all be taken and whisked away in this cock rocket. Actually be allowed to be those chosen ones, to look back and where we actually came from and realize that this is very, very precious. And that the one thing that we all have in common is that we're different. And then I'm coming to platforms. Love platforms. It's a cool little film. You can see Jeff Bezos here, the top, on his platform. Oops. Oh, well. All right. Oh, he seems a bit surprised. This was his last remaining content provider who tried to climb on top, and unfortunately now Mr. Bezos has no other choice but to balance on the edge, trying to not fall off himself. Because I feel this is what's happening right now. The platforms are supposed to hold us up, but they're not, are they? We're holding them up with our content. We are expected to provide all the fodder in order to justify their existence, not the other way around. And then they take 30% or more, and we're supposedly happy with that. Because we're being treated like this, like sperm, not like children. And even for games that are funded by said platforms, we're forgotten. We're meant to fend for ourselves and actually then wait for the other great, great companies to bring our content to life. And I'm not sure that's okay. So I learned this term the other day, content pipeline, lovely chap here. We are actually feeding, this is literally how our stuff is being referred to by tech companies, by the platforms. We have to pump our content into content pipelines because we're polluting the world, did you know? With this thing that's going to be burnt and forgotten. Fantastic. Listen, I love tech. I'm an absolute nerd. Like, I'm totally grateful for all the tech that we've created. But the problem is when tool people own the narratives, we end up in a world where everything looks like a nail. To a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And the tools right now own us. And it seems to be an upside-down reality. But then people tell me, you know, video games are unique in this because, you know, no other art form has been aligned with tech like this. And I'm like, how the fuck did you think this got made? This person had to find out how to make a fire. That had to be, right, invented first, that tech. By that point, 5,000 wannabe cave painters had already set themselves alight before even getting to this point. And then one of them went like, oh, I'd like to paint an idea on there. I'm going to slash my wrist. And like, oh, fuck. And then they went. And another 5,000 attempts later, we had tools and brushes and other things. I've researched this. This is all based on, yes, Ancestors video game. And so tech is kind of essential, isn't it? I think we've always had that. We're stupid, unfurry animals that need to put clothes on in order to actually survive for a day. Like, we all, like, moved all the stages in because we had a few drops of rain today. We need tech. We depend on it. Actually, tech is natural. We're tech animals. Because to go back to Spider-Man earlier, that's the spider web that we weave. It's tech, and it has been from the very beginning of time. That's what makes us us, is tech. We own the tech. Tech should not own us. We're happy to work with tech, and I love tech people, but please, let's change the dynamics and see this as a collaboration rather than one of ownership. Because tech is natural. And code is not tech. Code is language. We call them programming languages. When I talk to the programmers on my teams, on the games that I work on, I talk to them in exactly the same way as I do talking to the actors on the film set. They're actors. They're performers. They're storytellers. Programmers, you, all of you, tech people, your language is natural. We're saying things with it. So please, let's stop killing time. And let's start filling it with meaning, intent instead of content. Because intent is original. Intent is powerful. And intent is fundamentally very, very marketable. It's good business, trust me. Communities are an important one. The word has been usurped by tech companies and platforms, where it is indeed about content and competition and outdoing each other. And target demographics, isn't that nice? To be a target of someone, it's lovely. And so I don't like that. I think communities should be about collaboration and communication and compassion. And we should build systems around that, those factors, because those are the definitions of a good community, where diversity is not put into groups according to hashtags, but according to the fundamental principle that the one thing we have in common is difference. And so, this is an important one for me. We have amazing minds in this industry that we're ignoring. We have the Shakespeares, and sorry, this is a male example, but I had the quote earlier, and I don't mean it that way. But the reason we have people living among us that have invented this industry, that have invented video games, and they live among us today. People like Frédéric Renal, for instance, and even much younger and very handsome individuals, Patrice, for instance, who, you know, invented games that people are still trying to emulate now. These people have put an immense amount of thought into these games. We should not repeat their stories. We should tell new ones, but we should talk to them about what their original intent was, because that's the stuff, that's the spark of all the great ideas, not mechanics. So let's be intent creators and put meaning behind our mechanics. And also, not treat each other like NPCs. Chantal Ryan, who's in the room here, making a great game called Dark Web Streamer at the moment, Dark Web Streamer, actually taught me something very, very thought-provoking. In Chantal's game, they're not called NPCs, and they're randomly procedurally generated characters. She calls them NPPs, non-playable persons, which fundamentally then demands that the designers of those characters, that the programmers of those characters, treat them with the respect that we should afford to other fellow human beings. And when we do that, then we're starting to actually put meaning behind our mechanics. Because games are actually a physical experience. It feels digital because we use the language of code and digital tools in order to make them happen on screen or on device. But you know, the first time I sat down inside an OutRun cabinet in 1986, I was 8 years old. My feet could barely reach the pedals. I was traveling to another place. I wasn't escaping. I was traveling to a place that was so much fun, so inviting, so beautiful, so pure. I was essentially sitting inside a VR helmet. That's what arcades started as, a physical social medium. You'd go there to hang out with people in person. We're not making it social through tech now. It started social, and it started physical. And we're going back there, which is great. That's what VR is starting to do. We're starting to make games physical again. But we're physical beings. And already at this conference, I've seen examples of human behavior where we do treat other people like NPCs. And I think we should respect other people indeed as persons and keep our fucking hands off unless they expressly ask for it. Because we want to build a world in which we are standing on top of platforms instead of being crushed by them. This guy taught us this really well over the years. Oh, and one more thing. I think we should, at the point of sale, at the point of loading a game, start to think about what we're playing. And while I have absolutely no objections with shooting people in the face, if you want to do that and that gets your rocks off, go ahead. I've certainly spent many, many, many months of my life doing so in games. But I think it'd be interesting if, for instance, for the games that are supported or working in collaboration by the military entertainment complex, where the money exchanged hands, where there was a licensing deal, where there was an advisor, why not put that on the pack? Because we're currently in a world where people are being fucking killed for no reason. And we're standing by killing time, while other people are being killed for real. Make people think about it. Make people think about it, just for a second. So I'm suggesting this little sticker here. I think that'd be quite cool. And then you can make that decision, that informed decision, whether the thing that you're about to play is something that you consider entertainment, or whether you might indeed perhaps be helping something much more dark, much more disturbing, and perhaps look for some more original alternatives. So, you know, you don't want to listen to me ever again doing this for such a long time. But I'm about to launch a podcast on Wednesday with Chantal Ryan called Directional. And there's going to be incredible guests on there who are far more interesting than I am. Chantal will occasionally also tell me to shut up, rightfully so, like she did today during the design panel. I will refrain from telling her to, because I've fucking spoken enough with my white noise. And so please, follow it on Twitter, you know, and subscribe to that content when it goes live on Wednesday. And this leaves me nothing else to do but this. Thank you all. Yeah. Let's start a sale. The content sale. 30% off. I get 30% of everything. Yes, thank you very much. I'm done.